All right, Sholan, how we doing? Decent-ish. Okay, it's all good. If we have not met, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I get the privilege to serve you on staff with the high school ministry. And I'm so pumped that every single one of you is here tonight. Reminder, we're going to the brand new Velvet Taco right here across off of Preston and Forest, so come hang with us afterwards. But for now, we're going to get into God's Word and find out what is so bad about bikinis. So for the summer, we've been going through a series where we've talked about different positions or opinions or perspectives that Christians are known to have, or beliefs that Christians are known to be against. And we've just talked through what the Bible really says and how Christians are to really think about these different issues. So the last couple weeks, we've talked about LGBTQ, we've talked about marijuana. So you can go back online and listen to those messages. But tonight, like I said, we're going to be talking about what's so bad about bikinis. And to kind of set the stage for where we're going, I'd love to show you that I have a lot of experience around beaches and around bikinis, honestly. And so here's a picture of me. That's me right there in the middle of the picture in the ocean, just loving and enjoying my life because the sky is blue, the water is crystal clear, the sun is shining. This is where I grew up. Like, literally, my house was 15 minutes from this amazing ocean that I could drive to anytime I wanted to. And I did multiple times a week. And then I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trade in this awesome ocean for White Rock Lake. And I moved to Dallas. And I love Dallas, so, and I love White Rock Lake. But that was my experience before I ever lived here in the U.S. And I also grew up going to a small, more conservative Baptist church. And so when you went to the beach, there was a specific way that you were supposed to dress. And, you know, it wasn't like anyone said it all the time. It was just kind of the expectation. And this next picture is an example of how you're supposed to dress. So that's me in some way too long and baggy shorts, like in the water with a tank top on. And then those girls on the seashore, they didn't just happen to come there in their clothes. Like, that's what you do. You wear as much clothes as you can, and it's a competition to see how heavy you can be with all of the water in your clothes when you go to the beach. Like, this is normal. This isn't just, you know, some kind of small weird group. Like, if you were a Christian, like, this is what you did. I have another picture to show you some more people. That's me out in the water, still have on the long baggy pants and the tank top, and there's a rebel over there with his shirt off standing, and everyone else is, you know, to the extreme fully clothed, right? You're like, what is this? What is happening? That was the experience that I had growing up in my church. And the expectation was, like I said, was to be completely covered up, guys or girls. And even with this extreme position, why was that in place? Like, why was that even a thing? Is what we're going to address tonight. And to kind of bring it closer to home, many of you probably have gone to some sort of Christian camp like Pine Cove or Kanakuk or Sky Ranch or TBRM, you know, fill in the blank, or even Camp Barnabas. And every time you look at the packing list for one of these camps, if you're a girl specifically, what's one thing that's always on there if you're possibly going to be around water? Let me hear you. There we go. You got to find that one piece. Why is that? Is what we're addressing tonight. Why can't they just let girls live their lives, right? Bikinis are everywhere. Everyone wears them. They're at the beach when you're on vacation. They're at the lake when you go there. They're at the pool. They're in movies. They're on TV. It's just a normal part of life. So why are we even talking about it? It's such a regular part of our culture. Why can't Christians just get over it? What really is so bad about bikinis? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So the way we're going to set this up is I'm going to give you three principles, and then three objections and three suggestions to consider when talking about guys and girls around water. And when I say around water, you know that means a lake, ocean, beach, you know, pool, around water, obviously. So I hope that by the end of this message that you are encouraged, that you have a different perspective, that, you know, God isn't out to steal the fun from you, but there's something that he wants us all to consider above everything else. So before I even jump into these points, the principles, the objections, and the suggestions to consider when talking about guys and girls around water, I want to give you kind of a disclaimer before we go in. All right? So here's what I want you to know. I am not the bikini police. I'm not over here telling you, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, and this is what you're supposed to wear, or if you're a dude, this is how you're supposed to look when you're around water, or else you're not a good Christian, or else you're not following the Lord. That's not my purpose tonight, and that's not what I'm going to tell you. Because you have the freedom to act however you want to act. I can't control your life. You have the freedom to make your own choices. But what I do want to do is help you to think spiritually and biblically before you act. I want to help give you a framework to think about this issue that can be very confusing or cause lots of conflict. I want to give you a way to think spiritually and biblically about it. And so here's the thing. Scripture isn't black and white about bikinis. When the Israelites were walking through the wilderness to the promised land, there weren't many bikinis around, if you don't know. So scripture isn't specific and direct or black and white about bikinis, but here's what it is specific and direct about. It's specific and direct about modesty. Write down 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. So scripture isn't black and white on bikinis, but it is black and white. It is pretty clear on modesty. And so hopefully in this message, I'll help you think through what modesty looks like on this topic. So that verse again was 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10. And again, this is not a guys versus girls battle where all the attention is on girls, like, hey, girls, you should do this, or else you're making your brother stumble, or whatever the case is. This is not what this is going to be. By the end of this message, I hope to fairly address guys and girls and all of us together as believers in Christ. If you're not a Christian, this message is just good advice or helpful things for you to think about. But specifically, this message is for teenagers in a room that would identify and say, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. All right. And so another thing I want to say before I move forward is that I'm talking to future fathers and mothers and disciplers of people younger than you. I see some girls looking around like, what? Mothers? You will be potentially someday. And if someone looks up to you, if you're in a leadership role, I want you to be able to explain, hey, here's why I believe this, or here's why I act this way, or choose to dress a certain way, or choose not to dress a certain way. I want you to have a thoughtful response to the question, what is so bad about bikinis? So the first principle I want to share with you is kind of more directed towards girls, and then the second one will be directed towards guys, and the third principle will be directed towards everyone. And I think there's something for us all to learn all throughout this message. So the first principle is this. Just because you can wear a bikini as a girl doesn't mean you should. Like I said, the Bible does not, you won't find a verse that says, do not wear a bikini, because it's just not there. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. And here's why I get that. Look with me in your Bible, or just look up on the screen at this verse really quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. It's context. Paul is talking to Christians. And one group of Christians thinks, hey, it's totally okay and all right and within my freedom to eat this meat, these goats or bulls or whatever that have been sacrificed in these pagan, idolatrous, like temples of worship where children are sacrificed, where there's like temple prostitutes and they offer these sacrifices to false gods. There's some Christians that were like, hey, I will never like buy that meat and use it and eat it, you know, for lunch or dinner, whatever. And then there's a group of Christians that were also there and they said, hey, there's nothing wrong with eating this meat that was in this false god's temple, because there really aren't any other gods anyways. There's only one true God and only he exists. Does that make sense? So there's one group of Christians saying it's okay to eat meat sacrificed to idols, and there's one group that's saying it's not okay to eat meat sacrifice to idols. And who's wrong? Neither of them. And so that's what Paul is trying to get across to everyone, every one of us. He says this in 23, 1 Corinthians 10, 23. I have the right to do anything. So he's saying, hey, it's okay for me to want to eat this meat that is associated with these false gods, but not everything is beneficial. In other words, I can buy it and eat it, but I don't have to, or maybe I shouldn't. Maybe that's not the best option. And he goes on, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. In other words, to kind of bring it back to us and to our topic for the night, you may have the right to wear a bikini, but it doesn't mean that it's the most constructive or beneficial thing. So just because you can doesn't mean you should. That's Paul's argument, and that's the principle that I want you to wrestle with and think through when you're trying to navigate, should I or shouldn't I? What's wrong with it? What's so bad about it? And here's a couple of questions that I also want, you know, guys and girls to consider. So set the stage. You are deciding what you're going to wear on this vacation to the beach or at the lake or somewhere where you're around water. Or maybe you're about to post that picture of you and your friends having a blast in your bikinis or whatever it is. Here are some questions I want you to think through before you make any of those decisions that I think are informed by Scripture. Here's the first question. To girls, what about girls who struggle with body image? What I mean by that is the girl that sees your picture or the girl that sees you in real life that wishes, man, I wish my body looked like her, or I wish I got so many likes just like she does from that picture, or I wish I would get the attention from guys like she is because she's in her bikini. What about that person? Have you considered them before you decided to do something that you can do but may not be the most beneficial? Does that make sense? So what about the girls who struggle with body image? And the next question I want you to think about is this. What about guys who struggle with lust? What about guys who, quite frankly, when they see you in very little clothes, begin to take you to even lesser clothes in their mind? And think about things that you would never want them to think about you. And maybe they don't even want to necessarily, and just in the moment they fall prey to that temptation. What about those guys? Are you considering them in this thing that you can do but may not be the most beneficial? Here's another question. A better question to ask than what's wrong with wearing a bikini is why do I want to wear it? Why do I want to wear a bikini? Is it to draw attention to myself? Is it to draw attention to how your body looks? Is it to feel confident? Is it to make other people feel a certain way about you or to affirm you? Or maybe are you unintentionally teaching others that your physical appearance, how you look, is one of the most important things about you? Are you unintentionally giving that message across? So those are just things that I want you to think through as you process, because just because you can wear a bikini doesn't necessarily mean that you should. What about girls who struggle, like I said? What about guys who struggle with lust? And are you sending the wrong message by choosing to wear one? And I know probably there's an objection in your head right now, and I thought about that objection before so I can talk about it right now. Here's the objection. I think some of you might be in the room, or you maybe have heard this said, or maybe you've had this conversation before and you've said this. Hey, that person, that girl who may be insecure about her body and struggles with body image when she sees me in real life or on social media, or that guy who struggles with lust, they need to get over it. They need to work on themselves. It's not my fault that they're insecure. It's not my fault that they're perverts and their mind goes where it shouldn't. It's not my fault. They need to work on themselves. It's a valid and fair objection. It really is. But I think Scripture informs this very objection. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Like I said, if you're not a Christian, this doesn't apply to you. This is great information. But if you are, if you claim to be a follower of his, here's what Paul says that you should do. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of who? Of others. And so Paul is saying to that church that he wrote to in Philippi and to everyone sitting in this room in 2018 that one of the most important things that you can do or the one of the most important ways you can live your life is how can I be considerate of those around me? What's more important is how I encourage them, is how I bless them in their lives than whether or not I get to wear a bikini. That's basically what he's saying. That we should put others' interests above our own. And so although they might need to work on themselves, that's true. But your call as a believer is to put their interests above yours. All right, there's a second objection that you're probably thinking of, and it's this. There's so much talk to girls like, hey, make sure you're dressing appropriately. If you're at the beach, make sure you bring your one piece to this Christian camp. And what do they tell guys? They probably tell guys something like, oh, don't wear a Speedo or something. And you're like, who wears a Speedo? It's like they're creating something to say about the guys because they're saying something about the girls, right? It kind of feels weird. It feels like there's a double standard. So the objection is, what about guys being shirtless around water? What about guys being shirtless around water? That's a great objection. That's a great question. And it leads into our second principle when talking about this issue. What's so bad about bikinis? And it's this. Guys should, where am I? Guys need to consider their attire around water. Guys, as in males in this room and whoever ever listens to this, guys need to consider their attire around water. Because like I said, the objection is fair. It feels like a double standard to warn girls about bikinis and then not necessarily say anything to guys. Because here's the reality. Girls are visual people too. You know, you've heard this like stereotype. Oh, guys are so visual. That's why girls shouldn't wear bikinis. And you know, and then there's nothing else. But the truth is that girls are visual too. I don't think just as visual as guys, but I think that it's true and fair to say that guys don't have the market cornered on struggling with lust and struggling with their eyes and struggling with pornography or addiction to it or masturbation. Girls also wrestle with all of those things too. And so guys need to consider their attire when they're around water. So before I jump into what I think Scripture has to say to guys specifically on this principle, here's what I want to say to people who may have thought that objection or heard that objection before in your life. Here's a response. Even though there might be a double standard of, you know, girls getting all this instruction and then nothing to guys, here's what I want you to know. Our lens for making decisions is God's word, not what other people are or aren't doing. Our lens, if we're a Christian, the way we make decisions isn't, hey, why aren't they saying anything to the guys over there with their shirts off? That's not the way we make decisions. Our guide and our lens is God's word, not what other people are or aren't doing. A practical example of that is something that you've probably experienced in your own life if you have siblings. Let me see your hand if you have an older sibling, younger sibling. Yeah, we got some people in the room. Let me tell you, I've probably never been in most or any of y'all's house, but here's something that I know has happened. Your mom or your dad gave your brother or your sister chores on one day. Let's say gave them these directions yesterday. And they didn't do the dishes or they didn't take the trash out or whatever the case was, and nothing happened to them. Like your parents didn't say anything. Your parents just went on with their lives acting like clearly your sibling didn't do their job. The next day, it's your turn to take out the trash or do the dishes or whatever the chore is, and you don't do it, or maybe you even forgot. And somehow, some way, guess what always happens? You get in trouble. It's like, hey, why didn't you take the trash out? Why didn't you, you know, do the dishes? Why didn't you do this thing that I instructed you to do? And in your mind, you're like, you're kidding me. Yesterday, you just went about your life, and today I'm getting yelled at, or today I'm getting in trouble. What about him? What about her? Yesterday, when they didn't do it, you didn't say anything, but today you're saying something to me. And the reason I give you that illustration or example is because just because they didn't say anything to your sibling doesn't take away your responsibility to do whatever the chore is, right? It makes sense. And so in the same way, just because there is a double standard or feels like there is one and it's easy to point fingers, it doesn't remove your personal responsibility of the way you're supposed to act. So guys need to consider their attire around water. And here's a scripture that I want to use to illustrate this point. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. It says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. In other words, Paul is saying to girls who wear bikinis or to guys who are like, oh, yeah, let me just do whatever I want and run around at the beach with my shirt off or at the pool or whatever. He's saying it might be something that you're free to do, but is it the most beneficial or constructive thing? Right? Here's some questions I want the guys to think about. When they're like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me, you know, having my shirt off at the beach or the pool or wherever. Here's the first question. What about guys who struggle with body image? Did you know that there are guys who see other guys or in pictures or real life and they're like, man, I wish my body looked like that. What do I have to do? How much do I have to starve myself? How much do I have to work out? Whatever the question is, there are guys that genuinely, this is a problem. This is a struggle in their life. And guys in the room, have you considered that? Have you considered that even though you're free to have your shirt off, it may not be the most beneficial thing? Next question, what about girls who struggle with lust? Like I already said, guys don't have the market cornered on struggling with lust and pornography and masturbation. Girls experience that challenge as well. Are you considering girls who may take you from a little bit of clothes to even less clothes in their minds because that's how they struggle? Have you considered them? Now here's the next question. A better question than what's wrong with me having my shirt off around water is why? Why do I want to do it? Why do I want to have my shirt off around water? Like I said, I'm not giving you rules. I'm not giving you regulations. I want you to think. I want you to look deep within yourself and ask, hey, why do I do this? Why do I want to do this? Is it to draw attention to yourself, guys? Is it to draw attention to how your body looks? Is it to feel confident? Is it to have people feel a certain way about you when they look at you with, I don't know, muscles and rock-hard abs, etc.? Are you unintentionally teaching others that your physical appearance is one of your top qualities? These are all questions that guys need to think through when they think about themselves around water as well. And guys, I know there's an objection in your mind, and I already thought about it, and so here it is. The objection is, it's not the same as girls wearing bikinis. Like, guys are so visual, and like I said, girls are too. And you might have this objection in your mind, and I think that scripture speaks to this objection that guys might have, that it's not the same thing as a girl wearing a bikini. And here's what scripture says. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of who? The interests of others. In other words, guys need to process this. They need to think through this. How am I considering, how am I helping my sisters, the girls around me? Is it fair? Is it good? Is it helpful to my sisters in Christ or just girls in general if I'm shirtless? That's something to wrestle with. I'm not telling you you need to wear a denim shirt every time you go to the pool. I'm saying, have you thought about this? Have you thought about the girls that are around you? Have you thought about the guys that are around you? And I hope that you notice something. Now, when I talked about girls and that even though you can wear a bikini, doesn't mean you should. And when I talked about guys should consider their attire around water, I hope you noticed that it was the same passages of scripture that I used to illustrate how you should respond. I hope you noticed that it was the same questions that you should consider just flipped around for the gender, right? Because what God's word has to say should inform the way we live, whether you're a guy or whether you're a girl. As if you claim to be a follower of his word, God's word, should be your standard, your lens for making decisions. So, here's the thing. After this message, if you go home and you go on Instagram or Snapchat or you turn on a movie, guess what you're still going to see? People in bikinis. If you are on social media, like I said, or watch a movie, you're still going to see people in bikinis. You'll still see guys shirtless. Culture isn't going to magically change. Like, someone isn't going to send this message to, like, I don't know, to President Trump, and he's not going to issue an edict that says no more bikinis. Like, bikinis are going to still be a part of our world. And so, even though I'm giving you a helpful way to think through how you should decide whether or not you wear a bikini or whether or not you're shirtless around water as guys, the truth is that it's still going to be in your world. You're still going to see it. So what do you do? How do you deal with that? And so here's the third principle I think applies to every single one of us. Principle number three. Most Christians are on the journey of learning to take every thought captive. Most Christians are on the journey of learning to take every thought captive. And here's what I mean by every thought captive. Like, in that moment, to take a thought captive is to allow the truth of Scripture, the Word of God, the encouragement of your community, and the power of the Holy Spirit to change your mind in that moment. For example, just to use one example to explain this to you. You go home, you scroll, you see, you know, a guy shirtless or a girl in a bikini or whatever it is, and you're tempted to insecurity or to struggle with body image or to give in to lust. Taking that thought captive is saying in that moment, hey, that's a thought that's tempting me, but here's what's true from God's word, that he doesn't want that for me, that that's not the best life that he wants me to live, where I'm giving into lust or giving into insecurity, and he wants me to know that I'm known and I'm loved and I'm cherished and that people around me know me and love me and care for me. And so I'm not going to let that thought control me. I'm not going to let that thought push me down a path that I don't want to continue on. That's how you take a thought captive. You trap it. You put it in prison, right? That makes sense. So here's where that thought comes from. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul talking to some believers, and he says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." And here's where our phrase comes from, verse 5. "We take captive, we put it in prison, every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And so basically what Paul is saying in this these three verses of Scripture is that our lives are a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual war. And the enemy is all around us, and he wants us to fight against each other. He wants there to be animosity of girls towards guys, even around this topic of how you dress around water. He wants us to lust after each other. He wants guys against girls, like I said. He wants us to be divided. And here's what Paul says in verse 4. He says that we shouldn't rely on our human strength or our man-made ideas of working through those issues because we're weak. We can't do it. But our God is powerful, it says. Our God is powerful enough, and he destroys, he can destroy any attack that the enemy throws your way through the weapons. Like he says, on the contrary, the weapons that we fight with have divine power. And so God has given us some weapons to take every thought captive. What are those weapons? Like I said, and you've heard it 100 times, God's word, God's spirit, God's people, and prayer. Like asking God to help you, asking God to take that thought away, asking God to help you not give in to that temptation, give in to that thought. And so we take every thought captive when we run it through the weapons that God has given us to take those thoughts captive with. In other words, we submit our insecure thoughts to Christ. We submit our lustful thoughts to Christ. We submit our thoughts of comparison or our thoughts of perfectionism. We submit all of those to Christ because it is only through him that we can experience victory from some of the thoughts that come into our minds. Did you know that God was so committed to you taking thoughts captive that he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life, to die a perfect death, and to raise again from the grave, to offer you a full, vibrant, and meaningful relationship with God? And one of the benefits of that is that he's with you in those moments where you're struggling. He's with you in those moments where you're wrestling. And so here's the thing. Some days, you're going to crush it at taking your thoughts captive. That lustful thought, that insecure thought about, you know, someone else's body or how they look or whatever the case is. On some days, you're going to throw those in prison so easily. It's going to feel awesome. You're going to feel like you're walking on a cloud. The Holy Spirit is guiding you. Your friends, your people in your small group are encouraging you. And then there's some other days where it's not going to be as easy. It's going to be really hard. But God isn't mad at you on those days when you haven't taken those thoughts captive. He wants better for you, and he wants you to see that he's giving you everything you need to take those thoughts captive. So, every single one of us is on a journey of learning to take every thought captive. So what should we do if we know that everyone hasn't arrived? Everyone isn't perfectly, can defend themselves against lustful thoughts or insecure thoughts. What should we do if that's true? We should be patient with each other. We should be compassionate. We should be considerate. We should put their interests above our own because they're on a journey of taking every thought captive, just like you are on a journey of taking every thought captive. So just to summarize, the three principles I want you to think about when you think about this issue of what's so bad about bikinis is this: just because you can wear a bikini doesn't mean you should. Guys need to consider their attire around water. And most Christians are on the journey of learning to take every thought captive. And so we should be people who are patient and gracious to others because none of us has arrived. All right, so I've given you three principles and three objections and talked about those. Here are three suggestions that I would like to offer. And emphasis on suggestions. It's not requirements. If you don't do them, you're not like a bad Christian. But I'm telling you that if you look at God's word and what he says, like we've looked at in Philippians chapter 2, like these are things that are worth considering. Okay? Here are the suggestions I'd like to offer. Kind of applications for this message. Girls, consider buying swimsuits that indicate a consideration of others. So like I said, I'm not telling you to go wear a denim suit to the beach. That doesn't make any sense. I'm saying that you should think about, and you know this, you know the swimsuits that you probably shouldn't buy or probably shouldn't own, and you know the ones that are more appropriate or, you know, would be considerate of others. You know this. I don't know. I've never Googled where swimsuits are sold, but maybe you know where they are. So consider buying swimsuits that indicate that you're considering girls and guys that may struggle if they see you in person or see you on social media. Does that make sense? That's a suggestion, not a requirement. I won't hate you if you don't listen to this, but I think it's good advice. Number two, guys, consider putting on a shirt when spending extended periods outside the water. Like, obviously, you're not going to be swimming in the water in a jacket. It doesn't make sense. We all agree. But when you're out of the water, wherever you are, and you're going to be outside of the water for a long time, maybe just throw on a tank top. This is a suggestion. Your guns are going to still be out. The sun's out. Guns out will still work. It's going to be fine. And you are showing consideration potentially to those around you. Seriously, think about that. Consider that. And then the last suggestion, like I said, not a requirement, is this. Think before you post. Think before you like. And you know what I mean. Before you post that picture of you and your friends in bikinis, or before you post that picture of you and all your bros shirtless or whatever it is, think before you post. Who's going to see this? Who's going to wrestle with insecurity or struggle with lust because of this picture? And I can tell you that there's lots of people that don't consider that or think about that. And I could tell you stories. And anyways, we're about to wrap up. But think before you post, right? That makes sense. And then the second part is think before you like. And the reason I put that on there is because it is quite possible that a guy or a girl is posting a specific picture of themselves in a bikini or without a shirt or whatever it is because they are searching for affirmation. They're searching for likes. They're searching to feel good about themselves. And you double tapping might be sending them the message that, hey, this is the way, this is the means of getting people to like you, or this is the means of feeling that you're valued, when it's not. And everyone knows that. And you're probably not even thinking about that when you're liking that person's photo, but I want you to think about it. Think before you post. Think before you like. So, in closing, are there scenarios in which wearing a bikini is appropriate? Maybe. Bible isn't black and white on bikinis, but it's black and white on modesty. Are there scenarios in which hanging out with your shirt off at the, around water for the entire time that it's appropriate? Maybe. The Bible isn't black and white on that either, but it is on modesty. But here's the last thing I'll say. In the midst of the gray surrounding bikinis and what's so bad about it and all of this stuff, here's the one thing that's true, and I hope that you got that loud and clear through this message, is that Christians should think and act biblically and spiritually, not selfishly. Christians, if you're a follower of Jesus, the way you decide whether you should wear a bikini or not and which scenario is appropriate and which isn't, or don't have your shirt on, whatever the case is, the way you decide that is by thinking and acting biblically and spiritually, not selfishly. And so I hope to have given you a good framework for you to come up with your own convictions. Like, it would be a miss if someone walked out of this room saying, Jermaine said that it's bad if I wear a bikini. I never said that. I said, look at God's word and look at what it informs us, instructs us to do, and make a decision based on that. And so I don't want you to make a decision because I said it. I want you to make a decision because you've read and sat with and decided for yourself, this is the conviction that I hold, so that when someone asks you, you can give them your own answer. Some of you, you need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you with the decision about bikinis or about having your shirt off around water. Some of you need to do that. You need to ask your friend before you wear that bikini or you decide to go out to this party shirtless or whatever the case is. You need to ask your parents. Maybe you need to ask people in your small group. There are so many people that God has placed as his means of grace in your life to help you. So many weapons to help you take every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. Let me pray that you would. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and thank you that even though you don't specifically talk about bikinis, that we can learn how we're to think about that and think about how you'd want Christian high schoolers to act and respond when it comes to the issue of how guys and girls dress around water. I pray that every student in this room walks away encouraged by scripture and the truth that's found in it, and I pray that they would make the decision to come up with their own convictions based on your word, because that's what Christians do. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for any non-Christian who may be listening to this message. I pray that they would have heard the gospel loud and clear, that you love us so much that you sent your son to die and to raise again from the grave. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.